Good evening. The Warrick Finance Committee is now open at 5:57 PM. The first item on the agenda is PCR 10-23. I make a motion to move public hearing.
Second.
I have a motion, I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. The time is 5:57. The Finance Committee is closed.
Good evening. We're going to start the council meeting at 6 o'clock. However, at this time, Councilwoman Travis would like to make a request.
Thank you, Mr. President. At this time, I would like to have a moment of silence for Al Gemma, who served the city of Warwick in different capacities, you know, councilman, rep, and before that, he was, you know, with the Constitution Convention. But he served the city, and he served it well. I served with him, so I think we should have a moment of silence for him.
Thank you, Councilwoman. We'll have a moment of silence for Mr. Gemma. Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I call the special meeting of the Warwick City Council for January 30th, 2023 to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister.
Here.
Mr. Foley.
Here.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Here.
Mr. Howe.
Here.
Mr.
Lattiser. Here.
Mr. McElroy.
Here.
Mr. Ricks.
Here.
Mr. Snappy.
He's on his way.
And Ms. Travis.
Here.
Eight present.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to call on Mr. Morgan to come and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Morgan here. The Sergeant of Arms will do the mic for you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallant streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the
Thank you. Mr. Morgan, thank you very much. I just want to introduce our guests this evening who led us in the Pledge of Allegiance. And we're going to be talking a lot about numbers and contracts this evening. But Mr. Morgan has a personal story that he wanted to share this evening. He went into cardiac arrest on New Year's Eve at the Crown Plaza. And two off-duty Warwick firefighters and an off-duty nurse rendered CPR until Warwick Fire and EMS was able to transport him to the hospital, Kent Hospital, which saved his life. So he wanted to thank the individuals that saved his life this evening. He asked if he could tell that story here this evening. So I told it for him, but I wanted him to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. I think it's important that we remember that that the contract is very important, numbers are very important, but there's another side as well. And Mr. Morgan, welcome. We're glad you're doing well, and congratulations. So good evening, everyone. Before us tonight is PCR 10-23, which is a resolution ratifying the collective bargaining agreement between the City of Warwick and the Warwick Firefighters Local 2748. What I would like to do right now is just kind of lay out the process of how this meeting is going to run this evening, and then we will start. So the vote tonight before the City Council is whether to ratify this contract or not to ratify the contract. That is the only vote that can be taken this evening. No amendments can be made or changes to the contract. If the council votes not to ratify the contract, it does not go back into negotiations. It would go to arbitration. All questions will be answered by the administration or the union this evening, the two groups that negotiated the contract. And those are the two groups who are presenting this contract to the City Council this evening for ratification. After the administration and the union give remarks, we will then open up for questions for members of the council. I ask council members to ask their questions at this time and to save their overall comments on the contract as a whole until the end. Will there be another opportunity for members of the council to speak on that? For members of the public, after the council members have had their opportunity to ask questions, we will then open up the public hearing to hear from members of the public. We're going to run it like we do a public hearing where we have a zoning change. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask, are there any members of the public that are here to speak in favor of ratification? Those individuals will line up and they will speak on if they're in favor of ratification. Then I will, after all those individuals have a chance to speak, then I will ask, are there any members of the public who would like to speak against ratification? Those individuals will then line up and then speak. And then I will ask, are there any members of the public that would like to be heard on ratification? So if you don't want to say for or against, you just want to be heard on the contract, that'll be your opportunity as well. Once the members of the public have been heard on this, it will come back to the full City Council. And that will be the time for members of the council to give their overall thoughts and final questions on the contract as a whole, and then we will look for a motion. I'm going to be enforcing the council rules, and I look forward to hearing everyone's thoughts on ratification of this proposed contract, and I'm looking forward to a good meeting, a professional meeting, and hearing from everyone who would like to be heard on this contract. At this time, I'd like to introduce Mayor Frank Picozzi. Mayor?
Mr. President, I have a question.
Yes, the clerk, let the record show that Councilman Sinapi is here.
Mr. President, I have a question. I would like to make a motion to suspend the council rules and allow the members of the City Council, as well as the members of the public, to have ample time to address their questions, their concerns, and their comments regarding this particular contract agreement. This is an item that on its face.
See if you have a second first.
Excuse me?
We have to see if you have a second first. You've made a motion. Do we have a second? Second by Councilman Ricks. Discussion.
Thank you. So we have before us a tentative agreement that certainly, as you all know, is going to impact or may impact the taxpayers millions of dollars. I know I've spent a considerable amount of time going through this document, and I certainly have my share of questions. I'm sure that the members of the administration, members of the bargaining group, as well as members of the public, are going to have their own questions. I think it's very unfair and unreasonable to require anyone from this city council, whose job it is to represent the 80,000 people in the city of Warwick, and members of the public who also have a vested interest in this, to limit us to 10 minutes of comment. The last time I was finance chair, first of all, we heard the contracts in committee. And as the finance chair, it was my responsibility to hear it and make a recommendation for or against the member to the members of this council. So I object to it being moved to the floor without hearing from our finance committee and without hearing what their recommendation is as the finance committee. So again, I am respectfully requesting that the city council suspend the council rules, afford the ample opportunity that is required and necessary to vet this contract, potential contract, to its fullest. And if it means that we're here for 6 hours this evening or more, or if it means we need to come back for another day, it's my opinion we owe that to everyone, including the taxpayers, to vet this to its fullest extent. That's my motion, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Just for clarification, I just wanted to make sure it's just the only rules you're looking to suspend are the two provisions in Rule 17 and Rule 20 that pertain to the 10-minute limit, not the rest of the rules.
That's correct.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Solicitor. I will speak first on this. I do not agree with Councilman Lattiser on suspending the rules. And I understand that this is a large and very important document that we've all had for a long time at this point. We're able to ask our questions, and this is the opportunity for the members of the public to ask their questions as well, which they will have an opportunity to do that. And, however, PCR 10-23 is the only thing that is up for a vote this evening, and that is whether to ratify the contract or not to ratify the contract. Therefore, we can dive in and talk about every piece of the contract as much as the members of the public and the council members like, but the fact is what is before us is what we are voting on. So you have 10 minutes, up to 10 minutes to speak on the reasons why you are for ratifying this contract or against ratifying this contract, because that is ultimately what this vote is this evening. There are no amendments, there's no changes, there is no debate on this number should say this, this number say that. What is before us this evening is PCR 10-23, which is to ratify the contract or not to ratify the contract. I believe individuals should be able to fully explain their position within the time given this evening on whether they agree if this contract should be ratified or not. That is my position. Any other members of the council would like to speak on this motion?
Mr. President?
Any other members of the council haven't had a chance to speak yet? Councilman Gephardt.
Yeah, I would say, thanks for the explanation. We put the rules in place for a reason. We debated them and voted on them, not just for regular council meetings, but for all meetings. But we also included provisions that should a speaker need more time, that at that time we could make that happen. So there's no reason to throw out all of our rules for a special meeting. We do have the tools in our toolkit. Should someone be going down a path that is logical and respectful and gets towards some point, that we can extend the rules. So I would leave it at that, and I will vote no.
Thank you, Councilman Gephardt. Any other questions or comments from members of the council who have not spoken yet? Councilman Mattis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Councilman Gephardt, if you remember, I voted against those council rules as well. So, Mr. President, a question. Are you saying that as an elected official or a member of the public, that in order to make an educated vote on this contract, are you suggesting that we cannot ask questions about monetary issues in this contract, terms of the contract, changes in the contract, the fiscal note, etc.? Are you suggesting that or not?
Councilman, that is not what I said, and you understand that.
Well, then I need clarification.
I am just going to enforce the rules that are on this. The only vote that's up this evening is to ratify the contract or not. So your remarks can talk about the numbers, but ultimately, what you need to speak on is if you're going to vote to ratify the contract or not ratify the contract.
Ultimately, what we're going to be speaking on is the contents of the tentative agreement.
Correct, but ultimately, we'll be voting on ratification or not.
I'm not disputing voting yay or nay. What I'm wanting to put on the record is that there is no dispute that questions can be asked pertaining to the contract. Points of clarification can be made. Financial aspects can be stipulated and indicated. Correct?
Yes. Correct.
Thank you.
The clerk will call the roll. Favorable action is to suspend the rules, and no vote is to not support Councilman Lattiser's amendment.
Ms. McAllister?
No.
Mr. Bowling?
No.
Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howe?
No.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
No.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
No.
Ms. Travis?
No.
2 yes, 7 no. Motion fails.
Thank you. The motion fails. Once again, we will hear. Once again, we are here by the council rules. At this time, Mayor Picozzi.
Mr. President, members of the Honorable City Council, good evening. The tentative agreement that you have before you is a result of many hours of meetings and negotiations between the city and the IAFF. My negotiating team consisted of myself, Bruce Kaiser, Chief Peter McMichael, Susan Nahabedian, Michael Ursillo, and Carol Pruhl. I received guidance and advice from my colleagues, but every decision was mine. Compromises were made on both sides from the initial proposals. The task before you tonight is to either ratify this contract or to vote against doing so. If you choose the latter, the matter goes straight to arbitration. If that is what this council decides, I will support your decision and begin the process. Presenting this contract tonight will be my negotiating team leader, Director Bruce Kaiser. Bruce Kaiser, over his career, is a veteran of dozens of contract negotiations. Assisting him and being available for any questions will be City Solicitor Michael Ursillo and Finance Director Peter Schaefer. Each of these men have had long careers and decades of municipal government experience. They are the only bona fide experts in this room. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Bruce, I believe you would like to present the contract. Please just identify yourself for the record.
Bruce Kaiser, Director of Economic Development for the City of Warwick. Thank you, Council President McAllister and Honorable Council Members. On behalf of the administration, Mayor Picozzi, and the negotiating team, I'd like to highlight the major components of the tentative agreement that you have before you. You have received previously in our prior work session discussions documents that now have been made public relating to the fiscal note, the contract changes, the red line contract changes, as well as a comparative table of salaries paid to firefighting departments in neighboring cities and towns. So those are the basic documents that we were relying on in order to deal with the salary issues with respect to this proposed contract. But for the audience and members of the public, I'd like to summarize what the major components of the contract are. Certainly salary is the big issue. as shown in the fiscal note that Peter Schaefer has prepared for us. The salary increase is proposed for the three-year contract terms extending through June 30th, 2025 are as follows. 2.5% in the current fiscal year, 3.875% in year two, and 3.875% in year three. The other major element of this contract, which was a key component of the negotiations and played heavily into our decision to reach agreement on the salary increases that we're proposing to the council tonight. And that is a 2% across the board, applying to all members, OPEB contribution to an irrevocable OPEB trust. As you know, council members, I think you were all in the council during the previous contract discussions dating back to 2018, there was a OPEB trust component that was included in that contract. It applied only to members hired after July 1st, 2019, new hires. Turned out that that language, however, was faulty. It did not comply with IRS regulations in that it was a revocable trust. In order to comply with IRS, it has to be irrevocable. Once the money goes in, it can't come out. It has to be used for future benefit payments only. No one has, individual members or even collectively, has an opportunity to dip back into that and pull those monies out once the money is transferred in. So that's a key piece of what the administration's demands were in this contract. Peter can give us some, shed some more light on what the meaning of that in terms of dollar terms for this unit. I would also note that, as you know, the contract provision would not go into effect until January 1st, 2025, the last fiscal year of this contract. And it is also contingent upon getting an agreement, similar agreement, with the police union and the municipal employees union. The municipal employees union, we do have a clause in that contract that's already been approved that addresses discussions about OPEB. They've been, I'll share with you that they have been very favorable towards a 2% contribution on behalf of their members. They see the interest in ensuring that their retiree health benefits are sustainable for the future. So that is the other leg, major leg of this contract. In addition to the rationale of the 2% concession on the part of the union, justifying the wage rates that we're proposing to tonight, we also recognize that we're in a very highly inflationary environment. The CPI last year for calendar year 2022 rose 8%, as we all well know. In the prior year, it was 6.5%. These are certainly anomalies relative to what the CPI has been over the last number of years. We looked at what the salary, the real wage increases have been for the fire union over the course of the last 20 years. Easy to do, you just go on the Bureau of Labor Statistics, there's a CPI calculator, and it, interestingly enough, much to my surprise as well, shows that their real wages have not grown at all in 20 years. It's kept pace with CPI, obviously ups and downs during the course of each of those contract periods, but the wage rates paid in 2002 are the same wage, same as in terms of real wages as in 2022. It is a very important point. Obviously, we're not talking about going to 8% or 6.5% in this contract, and I don't think anyone would feel that was affordable or justifiable. Also looked at what private sector wage rates have been in the last, last year and going forward. Information that's available on the federal websites. Private sector workers have received, on average, across the nation, plus 4% wage increases, addressing the issues of, obviously, labor supply and demand, but also what inflation has been. Going forward in 2023, it's expected that the wage rates across the board nationally, again, private sector, is going to be 4.3%. So we're well within the range of what the norms are throughout our society. We provided you with the salaries paid in other communities. Warwick, a top step firefighter, is among the top of the other communities that we compared them to. Cranston, all in the metro area. Cranston, Johnston, North Providence, East Providence, et cetera. Slightly ahead of Cranston, a little bit further ahead of East Providence, and a little bit more of a gap with the other communities. However, and you saw this in the table that we provided to you, the another key component of compensation is the other post-retirement benefits. In this case, pensions. Our ARC, annual required contribution on behalf of the city, is 29% on the city side, and given the two-thirds, one-third requirement under the pension ordinance, the firefighters pay one-third. So they're paying 14.7 in the current fiscal year, 14.71%. In other communities, those percentages are much less, as shown on that table. Conversely, the cities are paying substantially more than the 29% that the city is paying on behalf of the pension plan in Warwick, given the pension distribution of two-thirds, one-third. So I think that's key to keep in mind when we think about the overall, or the straight wage differential being Warwick being at the top in straight wage, but after pension contributions, we fall back to number three spot, actually, as it turns out. You can see that in the table. So that weighed into our thinking as well. Other elements of the agreement that we are proposing, there's this prescription drug cap increase. Presently, the members are limited to $300 for individuals, $600 for families in the out-of-pocket costs for health for prescriptions during the course of the year. We reached agreement where that would increase to $400 for the individual and $800 for the family, incrementally moving this up, given the rising cost of prescriptions. Members may also elect to have cancer screening every 2 years. The union brought forward, and they can speak to this if a question comes up, as to what the merits of that are, given the exposure to the chemicals and hazardous materials that are part of their normal course of business. We felt it was worthwhile. It's a 30, as Peter Schaefer's fiscal note indicates, it's a $36,000 cost every 2 years. So $18,000 a year, yeah, on average. And that's if every member, all 200 plus members, took advantage of it. We don't know whether they will or not, but that would be the maximum cost for that particular benefit. The annual clothing allowance has been increased from $1,000 per year to $1,050 a year. I checked with Chief McMichael. That was last changed in 2019, previously changed in 2015. So it has been going up, again, sort of pace of inflation. Department-wide education program expenses increasing from $20,000 to $25,000, a $5,000 annual potential annual budget impact. That had not been increased in 20 years. Similarly, attendance at the National Fire Academy increasing for reimbursement to members who participate in the National Fire Academy, increasing from $1,000 to $1,500 for participation as reimbursable expenses. That had also not changed in 20 years. The fire union asked, and given the back and forth in negotiations and compromise we're reaching, asked to limit health care premium co-pays on the part of members to 5% per year. We haven't seen anything plus 5% in a number of years. Obviously, we are in a high inflationary environment. We don't know what the future is going to bring, but the past isn't necessarily prologue. But we did agree to that, and that's in the tentative agreement that there would be no higher than an annual 5% increase in the copay share paid by firefighters. I did look at what the CPI has been in the last calendar year for healthcare expenses, and it's been below 5%. It's not running like, energy, food, and some of the other major drivers of cost increases that we're facing. So we don't expect that we're going to see that in the next year. And premium increases are not based only on inflation in the Medicare industry. They're also based on what our experience is within the population that we cover, in the city of Warwick. As far as the tax, our finance director, Peter Schaefer's fiscal note indicates what the actual dollar value of the overall contract will cost the city year one, two, three, and cumulatively. You have that before you. Peter's here to answer any questions about that. But I would note that in year one, We expect that if there was no other non-property tax revenue to support our overall budget, offsetting what the requirement would for increasing our tax burden on the residents, what would it cost the average homeowner in Warwick? Year one, it would be 5 cents on the tax rate. Given the existing tax roll, we're looking potentially at, you know, implementing a reval this year. That decision has not yet been made. That would be $12 per year on a $250,000 median-priced home in Warwick. In years two and three, similar amounts given the 3.875%. Salary increases in each of those years, that would rise to 9 cents on the rate, given, again, assuming the $250,000 median-priced home, to $22 per year. So out-of-pocket expenses, given the existing tax roll, given the size of the overall cost for this contract, those would be the tax impacts directly on Warwick taxpayers. We're here to answer any further questions you might have.
Thank you, Director. At this time, I believe the union would like to also have a few comments, and then we will open up for questions from members of the council. And Mr. President, please just identify yourself for the record.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. President. Michael Carrero, President for the Warwick Firefighters Local 2748. Welcome all. Thank you, City Council members, Mayor Picozzi and his administration, as well as members of Local 2748, negotiating team, for this opportunity this evening to ratify this collective bargaining agreement between the city and its firefighters. Every few years, we come before this honorable body with hopes of maintaining stability between Warwick firefighters and this great city. To accomplish this, Local 2748 has historically made many compromises. In past contracts, we have foregone salary increases, given back holiday pay and sick days, and even agreed to a 5% salary cut. Perhaps most notably in 2015, this labor organization agreed to a massive concession by eliminating family health care and retirement for those members. This alone was a huge win and a massive savings for the city of Warwick. But this isn't about winning or losing. It's about solidifying a strong partnership between city leaders and its fire department. Since those concessions, we have had less and less applicants applying to this department, a department that worked through a pandemic with members who routinely risk life for others, a department that responded to nearly 20,000 emergencies in 2022, a department that will continue to set a high standard of service to the public. It is to all of our benefit that the city also maintains a high standard in terms of compensation to ensure we not only attract well-qualified applicants, but keep those firefighters already here who have shown they are willing to make the sacrifice this career demands. With an unanticipated level of inflation compounding the problem, this agreement provides for the maintenance of competitive wages to attract and keep qualified firefighters. Realizing ever-increasing healthcare costs, in this agreement, our members have committed to being active participants in shouldering those costs by agreeing that every member, while active, will pay into an IRS-compliant OPEB trust to help offset healthcare costs in retirement. While our ultimate goal is keeping our residents and visitors safe with this agreement, the administration has committed to help keep our firefighters safe by funding blood work-based cancer screening for the first time. Diagnosing cancer as soon as possible is vital. With firefighters having a 14% higher risk of dying from cancer, this provision within the collective bargaining agreement is particularly close to the hearts of our members and their families. Concessions made by us in this agreement will also provide for a more efficient and effective fire prevention division, which will make it easier and more attractive for businesses to come to Warwick and flourish. These are just a few examples of the level of cooperation contained with this agreement, which was negotiated in an unprecedented fashion, with the true focus on cooperation and shared purpose. During these meetings, we had deep conversation addressing these issues and were able to prepare a tentative agreement neither side is completely content with, but represents fair compromise by both parties. With this passage tonight, we look forward to not only maintaining, but increasing the harmonious relationship between the city and this union. I appreciate Mayor Picozzi and his administration for their fair negotiation and ask this honorable city council to approve this agreement. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, are there any questions from members of the City Council on ratification? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. First, I would have three questions for the administration. Thank you. Similar to the questions that I sent in advance to the union representative, I also sent some questions in advance to the administration. I just think that it's important for the public to have these questions on the record, and for me to ask these questions in order to help to explain my vote later this evening. First question is, the OPEB contributions at a rate of 2% of base salary that apply to all active employees beginning on January 1, 2025 are subject to the contingency in Article 13, Section 1.1 that the police and municipal employees unions also make similar contributions. The city is going to make that a priority in negotiations with these collective bargaining units and negotiate with them in good faith to ensure that all three groups would make those contributions starting on January 1, 2025?
Yes, Councilman Rickson. As I indicated, these discussions were held with the municipal union during the last contract negotiations. You ratified the contract last year. They indicated a willingness to discuss the OPEB, set up a committee of between the administration and the union executive board. Those discussions have centered on 2% as the willingness of the union to contribute. We have not yet had similar conversations yet with the police.
Thank you. My next question is, the city believes that all of the CBUs will negotiate in good faith, and the city will also negotiate in good faith with all of the CBUs. There is no, there is no reason to believe that any group would negotiate in bad faith to try to block the OPEB funding through the contingency. And hypothetically, the city would have recourse if there were any negotiations conducted in bad faith.
If I may, Michael Arcillo, City Solicitor, Councilor Ricks. So all negotiations will certainly be in good faith, but there would not be legal recourse with regard to this if a union took the position that it did not want to negotiate. It may very well have to wait until the present CBA or collective bargaining agreement has come to an end. However, having said that, as Mr. Kaiser has already mentioned, the one union is already, in fact, we left it open in their contract. One union is already set to begin negotiating with us on OPEB. And I have found in my dealings with the police union that they always negotiate in good faith.
And I would just add that those two other contracts expire in June 30th, 24. So that's how we arrived at the January 1, 25 effective date.
Thank you. And I do think that the contingency makes sense the way that it is laid out. I'll save more comments on that for the comment period. This is the question period. My last question for the administration is, this contract, if ratified, is something that the city can live with financially over the term of the contract, and this shouldn't prevent the city from being able to begin issuing bonds for the new high schools or meet other obligations during the term of the contract, right?
Short answer, yes. But I can have Finance Director Peter Schaefer elaborate on that.
I mean, in and of itself, this particular contract does not.
Excuse me, Director. Guys, excuse me, Director. Just introduce yourself for the record, and then speak right in the mic.
Peter Schaefer, Finance Director, City of Warwick. And this contract in and of itself would not jeopardize issuing bonds. Obviously, the cost of the city in all other, whether it's other public safety costs, public works costs, employee benefits costs, all those things add up. So that the reducing those costs as much as possible or limiting them increases the credit quality of any bonds you issue. But in and of itself, not this one contract does not have a material effect on being able to issue bonds for school projects.
Thank you. That's my questions for now for the administration. I'm not sure with the council president, should I proceed with asking a question to the union representative? Thank you. Thank you. My question is, and I know that I also sent this one in advance. The OPEB contributions at a rate of 2% of base salary that apply to all active employees beginning on January 1, 2025, are subject to the contingency in Article 13, Section 1.1, that the police and municipal employees unions also make similar contributions. Is there any reason to have any hesitation about whether they would be willing to agree to that, assuming, of course, that the city makes that a priority and negotiates with those unions in good faith?
Councilman Ricks, I cannot speak on behalf of the other collective bargaining units. I can only speak on behalf of this bargaining unit, and that was the terms that we had agreed to.
I certainly understand that you can't speak on behalf of any other bargaining units. I would only ask you to speak on information that you have. I would rephrase that. Would it be fair to say that you have not heard anything that would make you think that the other collective bargaining units would refuse to consider or agree to that term?
Again, Mr. Ricks, I can't speak on behalf of what the other bargaining units think or are they going to agree to. I'm only going to speak on behalf of what we agree to.
But you yourself have no knowledge that one way or the other that they would refuse or not refuse?
Mr. Ricks, again, I am not going to speak on any other collective bargaining units. I'm only going to speak on this bargaining unit.
I appreciate that. So really, I'm just asking about your own knowledge because I would look at this as something of a metaphor. If we were to make a friendly wager on, say, the Super Bowl game coming up, then I would presume that we're just making that based on the public knowledge and that neither one of us is going to try to, nobody is going to try to influence the outcome of the game. Nobody has knowledge that isn't generally available. So generally speaking, neither of us are directly involved in those negotiations with the collective bargaining units. And it's fair to say that neither of us has knowledge one way or the other if those other unions would consider that contingency, that contribution rate to be on the table or off the table?
I can only speak on behalf of what's in the tentative agreement between our negotiating team and Mayor Pecosa's negotiating team.
So it's fair to say that you have no knowledge of whether or not they may or may not agree to that term?
Councilman Ricks, again, I can't speak on behalf of the other collective bargaining units, just on our bargaining unit. So I don't know any knowledge of any other collective bargaining unit. So sorry, I can't answer that question.
The second to last item that you said that you have no knowledge, that's enough for me. Thank you.
All right.
Any other council members have any questions at this time? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess this question would be directed to Director Kaiser. So you indicate in this TA that the 2% OPEB contribution kicks in 2025.
Correct.
Which is the last year of this contract, right?
Yes.
So what happens if in the new contract of 2026, this clause isn't included in that contract? What happens?
If the contingency that's built into this language, that this would kick in on January 1st, 2025, so the last year of this agreement, 24-25, would mean that the other two unions have already, in their contracts that have expired on June 30th, 24, new contracts beginning in July 1st, 24, have already agreed. So all units would be already in the contributing to the OPEB at 2%. The subsequent contract of July 1st, 25 would require amended language indicating that going forward across the board, no time limit, without time limitation, that the 2% contribution goes on in perpetuity until changed.
But there's nothing in this agreement that says it goes on in perpetuity. It says what it does in this contract. So my question is, what happens if it is not included in future contracts? Keep in mind, what we're also needing to consider, or at least I'm needing to consider, is the last contract contained language that was illegal per Mr. Schaefer, which was that OPEB. And if you listen to the tape, and I have it here, if anyone would like to listen to it again, I made it perfectly clear during that Zoom meeting that that OPEB clause in that contract was nothing more than an annuity. And it had no financial bearings or savings to the taxpayers, although it was presented as such. And my opinion of that still has not changed. We have the previous contract that still hasn't been settled. And we're asking to vote on a third contract when we don't know what the financial ramifications are of the last two. The last one, for some reason, talking about this OPEB clause, the administration decided not to enforce it, which is a legal entity of that contract. It's what we on the city council, what we once again approved, ratified in its entirety, not to be disseminated. But what occurred was once it was determined, and I never did get a date as to when that was discovered, once it was determined that that clause was illegal, the administration decided not to enforce that part of the contract. And we don't know if any monies were ever taken out. As a matter of fact, we didn't even know that wasn't enforced until, at least I didn't know, until a couple of weeks ago. That part of the contract was not enforced. So that begs the question, why wasn't that brought back to us? Why wasn't that contract brought back to us for reconsideration? The contract was altered. It was changed. It wasn't what we approved. And it never came back to this council. Okay. Now we're being asked to vote on a third contract. I'm putting that out there because this is something that I don't know if my colleagues are aware of. When does this 2%, assuming that that 2% is ratified in perpetuity amongst all future contracts with the fire department, and by the way, ratified by future city council people, how long will it take for that to actually begin to save the taxpayers' money? And I ask that question because the last one, which was the last OPEB clause, which was illegal, it was stated that wouldn't begin to save the taxpayers any money until 2044. That's before it even begins to save any money. But this OPEB clause here is again being presented to us and the taxpayers as a significant increase in contributing to the cost of health care.
On the legal side, obviously our solicitor, you know, will have to address that. But with respect to the how long does it start to have an impact, as indicated earlier, the language in the expired agreement as of June 30th of last year was limited to new hires after June 19th. So obviously there'd be a more extended rollout period before there would be any kind of significant impact or impact. This proposal before you tonight is across the board for all members, so significant difference there. With that said, I'll let the solicitor discuss the legal aspects of what your question
is. No, excuse me, Bruce. Before the solicitor answers it,
sure.
When does this OPEB clause start to show a savings to the taxpayers? Do we know that answer?
No, we do not know that.
How can we not know that answer?
This is
we're presenting it as, I'm asking this as a question.
Sure.
How can you not know when this is going to accumulate, again, assuming it's accepted by any previous bargaining groups, right? Assuming it's accepted, how can you not know when it's going to begin to save the taxpayer dollars, but yet we present it to us as a savings? How does that make any sense?
It's a first step towards addressing a very large OPEB liability that we're all aware of. We'll be hearing from the actuary in the next few months with regard to the updated actuarial determinations in that regard. He'll be in a much better position, being expert in the field, to address, given the size of the contributions that would materialize from the 2% contributions across the board through all our employee base, what they may mean in that regard.
But you're not sure when that meeting of the minds takes place?
No, okay. I can't project at this point.
Okay.
What I can say is this is a first and I think significant step, given that it's across the board for all members. And
with all due respect, I cannot agree that it's a significant step because you have not told me what the amounts are. I don't know what the monetary amount is. So I don't know if it's a significant step or not, because you don't know when this is going to start to have a payback to the taxpayers.
We
Mr.
do know
President,
that.
I would like to follow up with Mr. Schaefer on this. I think I need to have him weigh in on this.
I would agree. We do know that it'll be plus $2 million annually that will be going in to the trust, and that money's invested through the pooled trust, growing each year. So $2 million each year invested and escalating in that manner.
Are you suggesting that the 2% contribution based on the salaries of the firefighters is going to be the equivalent of $2 million a year?
No, I'm suggesting that, see, we won't, there will be no firefighter, there won't be no contribution limited to firefighters in an OPEB trust because, as we indicated, it's provisional based upon other units also agreeing. So it wouldn't be limited just to the firefighters.
So if this thing is all that it's being presented to us to be, if it's this great big savings, why didn't the administration negotiate a 2% increase in the copay on healthcare and just make it plain and simple and really clear? Because that's something that would be very easy to compute. Why wasn't that 2% just added to the 20% copay?
We've been seeking an OPEB trust, as you know, Councilman Lattiser, for at least 7 or 8 years. I remember back in 2014, 2015, when the city had proposed in their budget making a contribution towards an OPEB trust through city appropriation, absent any agreements with the employee groups. Unfortunately, the council shot that down. There were questions about the structure of the OPEB trust, et cetera, and it never went anywhere. So this has been an initiative to establish an OPEB trust to deal with the liability for retiree health benefits going forward. It's been before the council for some time. Credit rating agencies like to see that there's some fiscal effort, responsibility on the part of municipalities to recognize the liability and make movement towards that. Albeit, this is a first step, as I indicated. We can't calculate what, among all the different factors that credit rating agencies use to determine bond ratings, but this will be a positive, not a negative. So any future bonds that may be floated may be positively impacted by a more beneficial rate than we otherwise might get. We can say that minimally.
If everyone was serious about increasing our unfunded healthcare liabilities, then they would be willing to negotiate a higher copay and eliminate free lifetime healthcare. But that's not what we see here.
Without going into specifics, we appreciate, administration appreciates what you're saying. Certainly, this has been a discussion that's been ongoing for a number of years, just given the size of the retiree health benefit costs that the community is facing, and not only work, but other communities as well. And we did have a proposal on the table to address contributions by future retirees. It was not successful. We opted to go this route. The only option beyond that is to go to some third party to consider that.
You know, and perhaps the day has come that that's what needs to be done. Perhaps that's exactly what needs to be done. But I would like to ask Mr. Schaefer that question about when does the taxpayers see a benefit on that 2% OPEB contribution, assuming that it continues in perpetuity? And there's no guarantee that it could. This is something that could change at the whim of a future council or at the whim of a future bargaining group. Mr. Schaefer?
Do I need to sign in again? Peter Schaefer, Finance Director, City of Warwick. You recall 2 years ago, for the first time, we appropriated money to the OPEB Trust, $250,000, and some councilors thought that was too small an amount. This is an enormous problem for the city, no question about it. Of all the things that we're talking about, having this liability on the books is not right. And what we're working on with the actuary is a comprehensive plan that doesn't rely just on firefighters' OPEB contributions, as you know from this contract, that also relies on police, municipal employee contributions 2 years from now. We know about a cliff in the financing plan for the municipal retirement plan that will reduce contributions beginning, I believe, in 2026. We have an issue with the fire and police one plan where the participants, the beneficiaries, are declining, and there's going to be a dividend there. So we're going to have a plan, and then it all depends on how much of that plan comes to fruition and how long it takes us to amortize the unfunded liability. Just as with pensions, if you have an unfunded liability, the actuary helps you come up with a schedule of payments to amortize it, hopefully less than 30 years. It depends upon the amortization schedule. But all the things will be benefits to the taxpayers. I know our actuary feels this is the kind of thing that the rating agencies look for. They don't want to see a community not addressing the problem. And we have five pockets of money to address the problem. You'll see a comprehensive plan sometime this spring on that. This is one little piece of it.
Mr. Schaefer, I'm not sure if I heard you correct. The question that I asked was, when will the taxpayers see a benefit in reduction of the health care costs to them with this 2%? Now, the last one, which you were kind enough to put on the record for us, that it was misrepresented to us by the city actuaries at the time and was illegal, that one, or perhaps even going back further, it was said that there wouldn't be any savings realized until 2044, which was some 20 or 25 years later. I think I just heard you say that in 2 years, the taxpayers are going to start seeing a savings on healthcare because of this 2% OPEB?
Well, if
how does that work?
If you see the fiscal note, we're estimating that this would generate $182,000 for the OPEB trust. And if you're depositing $182,000 in the OPEB trust, then that's $182,000 that you're not having to use city appropriations for. So, yes, beginning in July 1, that's a bite at the apple of eliminating the OPEB trust. And it's a cost that we should be paying every year out of appropriations, and we're going to have to get there over a period of years.
I'm glad you mentioned that number of $182,000. Perhaps I don't understand your fiscal note here, and you know, if I'm misunderstanding it, I'd appreciate clarifying it. My understanding is this OPEB contribution is 2%, correct?
Yes.
So can you explain to us how you have on item number 6 of your fiscal note, why you have $182,057?
That's a deduction from the cost in that year of the contract, because otherwise we would have to, if we file a GASB guidance, which is amortizing unfunded liability, that's the amount that we would have to pay out of appropriations, which we're not going to have to pay out of appropriations because the active firefighters are going to be paying that money.
So
you have 1 minute, Councilman.
This kicks in 2025, right?
January 1, 2025, so it's half a year.
So right now, so that is only, is that $182,000, that's only for half a year?
Yes.
So what I find particularly concerning with this OPEB language, and you all remember, my colleagues all remember, I'm sure very clearly, in February, I put forth an ordinance that would increase co-pays, eliminate lifetime health care, et cetera, et cetera. And I was told, oh, you can't do that because you can't infringe on a bargaining group's right to bargain. That's what I was told. And it was voted down. So my question to legal counsel here is, how can the fire department dictate to another bargaining group or require another bargaining group or intervene into their bargaining rights by putting this clause in this contract that says we will do it if they do it. If they don't do it, we don't do it. But yet we're being asked to vote on this contract tonight. We're not asked to vote on it after we know what the other groups are doing. So how is that any different? How is it that the fire department gets to dictate to the police department or the municipal workers and say, we'll pay the 2% only if you guys do? Isn't that infringing on their bargaining rights?
No, excuse me, no, Council Addison, because they're not dictating anything to the other bargaining units. I've worked with the mayor for the past 2 years. He's not going to bring a new contract for those other two unions, which contracts end in 2024 before this body, unless there's an OPEB provision in it. So that's going to be coming from the administration, not from the fire department. So.
That's fine. If the mayor or the administration chooses to take that route, that's fine. But what's being said here by the bargaining group is that we are not going to do this unless the police and the municipal workers right. agree to do the same thing.
Right.
But that Why is that not interfering with their rights to bargain?
Because it only impacts their contract. In other words, if the other two groups decide for whatever reason not to participate, this group, the firefighters, are not going to be paying that 2%.
Exactly. So they benefit by 2% and the taxpayers lose. Right?
Councilman.
Is that right?
You have to begin somewhere. This was the contract that was up. To the right. administration's credit, they started with this union. We still have, we have two other contracts in place. By law, we have to follow them. By law, you can only enter into a three-year contract. This is the one that was up. If it were the police that were up, or if it were the municipal employees that were up, we would have begun with them. But this is the first inroad.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other members of the council have anything questions at this time for members of the administration of the union? Councilman Gephardt.